From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty, bringing you the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 7th, 2018. And on this day, some Maine schools are beefing up security after several school shootings around the country in the last few years. But is it a good idea to bring criminal justice into schools? And we'll get a look at how a political group is using cute Facebook videos to get political ads to you. That's ahead in just a moment.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Norway Savings, supporting the colorful vision of Maine's business owners. Live your life in color. NorwaySavings.bank.
Governor Paul LePage has signed into law the child welfare changes that lawmakers approved last month in special session. As Mal Leary reports, these include spending millions of dollars more on the system.
The new legislation will add more than $21 million into child welfare, with $8 million immediately going to replace the state's aging computerized case management system. The funding bill also provides raises for caseworkers, adds 16 new caseworker positions, and allots more funding for foster homes. One bill moves the state slightly away from its policy of keeping families intact in child welfare cases and will now require, quote, reasonable efforts at reunification. Another will allow the Department of Health and Human Services to retain records from unsubstantiated child welfare cases for up to 5 years and to obtain criminal history information. Some parts of the legislation will not take effect until 90 days after this legislative session finally ends. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Mal Leary.
As many of us know all too well, Facebook uses viral videos and clickbaity stories to profile users so advertisers can try to sell you a pair of shoes, a new television, just about any kind of merchandise. But now a well-funded progressive group is using that same concept to sell you candidates. That group's called Priorities Action USA, which spent more than $190 million in the 2016 election and is now spending big to help elect Democratic Attorney General Janet Mills as the next governor of Maine. We have brought in our chief political correspondent, Steve Missler, to explain how this works. Steve, the story you wrote today says this group, Priorities Action, is using these innocuous-looking Facebook pages to build its audience for more overt political ads. How does that work?
Well, it's a really novel approach to digital political advertising, Nora, and I personally haven't seen anything like it before. What Priorities Action is doing is they create these Facebook pages that bear little resemblance to a political organization. And these pages post the kind of content that we would call clickbait, funny videos or news stories that might get people talking, and more importantly, getting them to share them with their friends on Facebook. There's actually a great example on the page Here for This, which is administered by Priorities Action, although you would never know that at first glance. Earlier this summer, Here for This shared a viral video of this man who had adopted 45 dogs and then set them loose on this massive farm that he owns. In this short clip, you can hear the man as he narrates a video of the dogs being set free. He opens the gate to this sprawling field, and the happy dogs go bounding off and exploring.
When the camera gets a bit shaky as they try and knock me over. There they go. All running around wildly, exploring anything and everything.
And so if I saw this post from this group on Facebook, and if I shared it with all my friends, I could end up getting political ads from Priorities Action.
Exactly. So what Priorities Action then does is they can see who clicked or shared that video, and then it uses that data to build its target audience for campaign ads. Now let's shift to the Facebook page Maine Matters, which is the one that Mainers might be seeing right now. That is another page run by Priorities Action. And that page recently shared a story about a Maine company that uses 3D printers to make women's shoes. Now, if you happen to click or share that ad on Facebook, you might end up seeing this one in your newsfeed.
As a teacher and a mother and a grandmother, I think all children really deserve the same opportunities to learn. I'm voting for Janet Mills because we need someone in the Blaine House that supports us and supports education and that wants to invest in the children of Maine.
So that's obviously an ad that's designed to convince you to vote for Janet Mills in this year's gubernatorial race. And what's interesting about those ads for Mills is that many of them are targeted to women Facebook users, which makes sense since the news story that helped build that target audience for Priorities Action was about women who use 3D printers to make women's shoes. Now, people who clicked on that news story from Maine Matters might never know that those ads about Mills were coming their way. And the people who clicked or shared that heartwarming dog video probably don't know that's the reason why they're seeing political ads from Priorities Action as well.
So how might one learn that these sites are run by Priorities Action?
Well, you have to do a little bit of digging. But fortunately, there are breadcrumbs right on those web pages. And that's because Facebook has a new set of rules about political ad disclosure that they put into place earlier this year. That means people pushing political content, even from innocuous-looking pages like the ones we're talking about, have to tell you if they're a political organization. So if you click on the About Us section of those pages, such as the Maine Matters page, you'll see that they're in fact run by the political organization Priorities Action. And you can then use Facebook's political ad disclosure portal to see all of the ads that that group is running on Facebook advocating for Janet Mills. And that's how we found them. Obviously, not that many people have either the time or the inclination to do that, but the information is there. And in most cases, the amount of money that Priorities Action is spending can be found too. You'd have to look up that information on using campaign finance data. But we've gone ahead and done that for you. Priorities Action has raised more than $18 million this year to influence races all over the country. And it's already spent close to $12 million, including $500,000 in digital ads on the Maine race for governor.
All right. Steve Missler is our chief political correspondent. Steve, thanks for walking us through this.
Happy to do it, Nora.
And if you want to read more about these ads, you can do so. Steve's story is at mainepublic.org. In the wake of the fatal school shooting in Parkland, Florida earlier this year, schools across Maine are taking steps to respond. Some are adding security cameras, some are stocking tourniquets, and several have even hired new school resource officers to patrol the hallways. While supporters of these new positions say they help make the community feel more secure, civil liberties advocates say the increased police presence could bring its own negative consequences. Robbie Feinberg reports.
Morning. Morning, girls.
RSU-4 resource officer John Dahlbeck's normal school day might take him to five different buildings, from Sebattis to Litchfield in central Maine. In the morning, he might meet with a group of young students to talk through an issue.
You want to call the advisory down?
Yeah, we'll have it here.
And while part of the job is security-related, much of it is counseling. At lunchtime, a student walks into Dahlbeck's office to tell him about an issue with a few other girls. By the end, they're talking about college.
All right. So what we have to do is we need to get your college stuff. We need to make appointments for like this week.
You need to go home. Later in the day, he might work with fourth graders and help with literacy.
Policing is neighborhoods. The school is the biggest neighborhood. At 8:30, the town of Sebattis empties out. Those folks are gone. They have put their children in our protection. And our job is to put the castles around them, protect them, and do what we can for them socially, academically, and emotionally.
The resource officer position is new to RSU-4, prompted in part by a February school shooting in Parkland, Florida. In the weeks that followed, threats of school violence rose across the country, including an incident at the district's Oak Hill High School that forced it to close for a day. Oak Hill Principal Marco Aliberti.
You know, it's paramount. It's a very important piece to the school, is to make sure that we're safe and we're secure so that we can focus on the academic aspects of the building. And also, if there are kids that need help and support, we can do that within these walls.
Districts across the state are taking a similar step. While few official numbers are available, media reports indicate that at least a dozen more officers were budgeted for this school year. And an informal poll from the Maine School Management Association this spring found more than a third of responding districts were adding school resource officers.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Oh, hey.
but some are wary of the push to bring more police officers into schools.
Our criminal justice system really can't be our go-to answer for every problem.
Allison Bia is the executive director of the American Civil Liberties Union of Maine. Her organization has long been concerned about police in schools, arguing that it could lead to more arrests and push more students into the juvenile justice system.
This new trend is really embedding police officers into schools, and it's blurring the lines between law enforcement and educators. And unfortunately, there's very little oversight and very little guidance in this process.
BA is particularly worried about underrepresented groups, including students of color and those with disabilities. According to recent data from the U.S. Department of Education, Black students and those with disabilities in Maine are referred to law enforcement at rates nearly double that of white students. Others are raising concerns about proper training. Mo Kennedy, the executive director of the National Association of School Resource Officers, says that as many new officers are transitioning into schools, it's not clear if they have a strong foundation of knowledge in topics like school law or child development.
That's been a concern of mine since I started doing this job almost 8 years ago, that we might have people across this country who go to work in a school environment as a law enforcement officer with nothing more than their original academy training. And it's just not enough to work in this unique environment.
Earlier this year, Kennedy's group visited Maine and provided basic officer training for 43 school staff. Many districts that Maine Public spoke with indicated that they were sending their new SROs to similar programs. However, like most states, Maine has no formal training requirement for school resource officers. And as for concerns about how school police might be misused in dispensing discipline, many school officials believe that there are proven ways to set boundaries. Pender Macon is the assistant superintendent of the Brunswick School Department and also serves on the state's Juvenile Justice Advisory Group. She says her district has established a memorandum of understanding. It spells out exactly what an officer can and can't do.
The one thing we want to avoid at all costs is having the presence of an SRO lead to an increased involvement of kids in juvenile justice system. We don't want school to be a point of entry for anybody, ideally.
Macon says with that clear separation, she feels confident that officers are providing safety to school buildings and also contributing to the education of students. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Robbie Feinberg.
And education reporting on Maine Public Radio is supported by a grant from the Nellie Mae Education Foundation. For more of today's Maine news, visit our website, mainepublic.org. And from Maine Public, that's This Day in Maine for Friday, September 7th, 2018. Thanks to Ed Morin and our digital team, I'm Nora Flaherty.